Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Robin McKean, and all the hosts for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics, right here on Blog Talk Radio.
A safe place where we have the freedom to think about life without judgment. We take a look at society, we examine it, and we allow for the possibility of something new, something different. And now, here's your host, Alan Ritter.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to another episode of An Emerging Forest. And last week's talk on soil was kind of an interesting lead-in to this show, because it happens that March the 1st is actually the one-year anniversary of the rebirth and a more business-like version of the Produce Club co-op business that I run in the Philadelphia, Pennsylvania area. And so I thought I'd talk a little bit about diet and what led me into the Produce Club and what's going on in the Produce Club right now and what I see going on in the Produce Club in the future. So in 2005, I was a normal, I guess you would call a workaday, 9-to-5 salary person working for a very nice company in Princeton, New Jersey. And it was time for me to change, so my mind changed me, or my self changed me. And I began to go on an adventure. And one of the first things that happened to me was I was standing in the kitchen one day preparing some chicken that I had bought at the store. And I looked at the chicken as it was sauteing in the pan. And I had this really revolting experience of saying that I'm cooking children. And I have no idea to this day where that vision came from, but I turned the pan off and had to discard that. And that was the last time that I ate any meat. And I proceeded all down along a path to where I am now. And you start becoming more conscious of what processed foods are, and then you start becoming more conscious of any processing, and then you start becoming even more conscious of what the cooking eating process does to food. And just very simply, one of the main things that is toxic in the human body is nitrogen. And nitrogen comes mainly from protein. So if we're eating unusable protein, immediately we have nitrogen or nitrogenous waste, which is something that needs to be dealt with by one of our main excretory functions, which is urine. Of course, urine is nitrogen. But if you overburden yourself with too much protein, you're not going to be able to excrete it all, and there are many other pathways that the body uses and stores nitrogen. The uric acid is one of them, and you get stones from uric acid, and you also get storage in the peripheral limbs as gout. And I'm not a great aficionado on physiology, but I know a few things. My expertise lies in other areas. So if one of the main problems is nitrogen ingestion in a usable form and then nitrogen excretion, you really don't want to overburden yourself with non-usable nitrogen. And one of the pieces of information that I do understand is that animal protein is not something that humans can use, because humans have to synthesize their own non-essential aminos. All of the quote-unquote essential aminos are plant-based. So you can get all of your needed aminos from eating plants. And so right there, logically, you're sitting there saying, oh, you mean that the proteins that animals build and that we eat from them, we have to actually build ourselves, and therefore the animal step, the plant is okay to eat, but then the animal step is kind of a waste of time. And I would say, yes, it's a waste of time. It's also quite a detriment, because we're eating all that nitrogen from an animal, and it's actually a waste product. It's a toxin that we need to excrete. So just on that level, the step of agriculture after the plant and ingesting the plant into animals and then consuming the animals is completely unnecessary and actually detrimental to our physiology. It's a custom, it's been done for a long time, but it's not a good idea really. But of course, that step leads to a great deal of the modern economy. It leads to a great deal of healthcare. It leads to, you know, many conditions in the society. It generates a lot of income for a lot of people. And so to think about going in a different direction is on many levels unthinkable. But I walked down that pathway and started to change my diet. And after a few years, actually in 2010, I met somebody who proposed to me, hey, you shouldn't cook your food. And well, why shouldn't you cook your food? Well, molecules actually change how they're shaped as a function of heat. And one of the things that changes shape, once again, is those interesting proteins. They have one shape when they're raw and another shape when they're cooked. And molecular shape is very important for fitting into metabolic sites, for actually being the key that fits into the lock. And so once again, when you cook something, you actually render it unusable. You actually render it into an alien shape. And your body's looking at that saying, well, what the heck is that? I don't understand what the heck that is. So if it's really kind of miraculous to look at the predominant majority of society and what they're actually putting in their body is almost exclusively waste product. And to think that they actually have athletic performance and get along about a life for so many odd years before they run into a major disease or a major problem. It's really rather fascinating that the body is so unbelievably well-suited to perform even under these harsh, harsh conditions of near starvation. So what am I talking about? I'm talking about actually eating a diet that consists of raw fruits and some greens, other vegetables, and maybe a small number of nuts and seeds every once in a while. And even more than that, motivating on the angle of low protein, because you want to eat as little protein, you want to eat enough so that you have enough to metabolize to supply your needs, but you don't want to eat any more than that because you want to have as little excess nitrogenous waste to be excreted. So you're keeping your protein intake as low as possible. So what are you eating? If you're keeping your protein intake as low as possible, likewise your fat intake as low as possible, and you're getting your calories from a raw source and in a simple form, it's very simple. You're eating fruit, because fruit is exactly that. It's a high sugar, low protein, low fat source. Now, of course, to balance that, you're going to need to get minerals in a natural form. And as I talked about last week with soil, the natural form comes from bacteria mining the minerals for plants and yielding those to plants, and then plants ingesting them in a natural soil, not a salty soil, which will not give you the minerals in the form that you need them. So what are you doing? You're eating, bananas, apples, mangoes, lettuces, things like that. So when I sort of stumbled onto this in 2010, and it just made an incredible amount of sense, I started shopping that way. And I went to the local organic center, which happens to be a Whole Foods market in my area, and I shopped there. And the prices for the organic grade were quite high, but of course that's what I wanted, because I wanted to have, the best manifestation of the body that I could. And I was also helping my mom, juicing for her every morning. So I quickly ran into a dilemma. I mean, how long could I continue to spend a certain way and still keep eating this organic produce? Turns out that, I quickly did the math, and that I was going to, if I kept eating that way, I was going to run out of money sooner rather than later. So I asked some of the, young ladies who were coming in and helping with my mom, because I was certainly there overnight, but it's really good to have, other company, especially women, to come and help her with tasks that she needs to take care of. And one of them found the Regional Produce Center. And there's an organic supplier at the Regional Produce Center. So we went and started toured their facility and started shopping. And right away, you're confronted with this price drop. And I've discussed this in an earlier program, I believe, with Terry and Robin. But for instance, Whole Foods sells organic sweet potatoes for $3 a pound, and the everyday price that I could get them for from the organic supplier was 90 cents a pound. And that was a pretty shocking difference. And so I would come home with a large case of lettuces or a large case of oranges or something like that. And I would say to the people that were at my house, I can't eat all of these. Do you want to share? And they said, well, how much are they? And I said, I did the math and said, oh, a dozen of these is such and such. And they looked at me like I was crazy because the prices are so much less. Well, just through that simple sharing and, you know, one person telling another by word of mouth, I naturally fell into, you know, a produce business. And within 90 days, I was serving 150 homes in, you know, an area around where I was living in Wayne, stretching into New Jersey, out to Lancaster, up to Lansdale. And everybody was really interested in getting what I had. And shortly thereafter, my mom became progressively more ill. And I had to stop the produce club as it was then. And I started it up a year ago. I actually started it up shortly after March 1st by advertising on some vegan Facebook channels in the Philadelphia area, Vegan City Philadelphia and Vegan Food Enthusiasts in Philadelphia. And a few people found me, and I started delivering to them. And not to belabor the story, but a year later, what do I have? I have a 50-member group-ish in West Philadelphia, one of the first places that started using my service, and a great organizer, who Melanie Bartlett, who was actually on a few shows ago, relating her experience in the Produce Club. And then I have a business centered in Collinswood, New Jersey, which is where I'm living right now. And in the surrounding communities, I'm hosted at a local coffee shop in Oakland, New Jersey, and also at a bakery in Collinswood, New Jersey. As well, I have branches where people receive my produce on a weekly basis in Abington, and then sometimes there's produce for me in Lansdale, Pennsylvania. So a year later, there's a lot of interesting developments going on. You look at a business and you have to sort of price things in a certain way so that you're delivering a really good bargain to your customer, but you also have to balance that and maintain the business, because you are in business for two reasons. You're in business to deliver a great value, a great discount from the grocer, but you're also in business to keep your business in business, because you want to maintain the service, because people coming to you wish to have your service. So you can't charge them absolutely the lowest price, because then you don't actually satisfy your own personal needs. And that's something that I've actually had to overcome and actually price my goods quite a bit higher than I initially started out pricing my goods. So there's been a lot of growth, personal growth, that I've actually found from running this business and saying, well, I need to survive, but not only do I need to survive, I need to prosper a little bit so that I'm in good condition come a year from now, come 2 years, come 5 years, I'm in a good position to improve my business. And speaking of improving my business, I started out my business selling mostly seconds produce. And what do I mean by seconds produce? Because I just described Whole Foods' price for first quality retail on sweet potatoes as being $3, and then the wholesaler's price requiring you to buy a 40-pound box as being 90 cents a pound. But of course, the produce supplier receives a large number of every item that they receive, and they sort it all. Conveyor belt and quality control per people look at it. And items that don't make the grade are actually picked out of the line, and they're actually called pickouts, or they're called seconds. So for a 40-pound box of sweet potato as a first from a wholesaler, it might cost $36, which is 90 cents a pound. But as a second, it could be anywhere from $8 down to $5. And that's, you know, at the lowest price, that's 12 cents a pound. Now, I'm not saying that nutritionally those products are equivalent. They are not. I'm saying that the nutritional value of the first is equivalent to the first in the Whole Foods. Those are on par. There is a nutritional trade-off. But for the most part, when I look at seconds, they are, in the vast majority of cases, cosmetically equivalent. Now, there is some fruit, like mangoes that I just had this last week, they were ripening. And the only thing wrong with them, which isn't really wrong with them if you're sitting there ready to eat them, is that it was ripe. So the supplier is basically saying, well, we've got a lot of fruit here that's going ripe. To move them for something, for some dollars, instead of losing them all and having to throw them out. So they lower the price, and they lower the price quite a lot. And if you're in the right location with the right information, as in you're keeping track of the market, or you know somebody who is, or if you're in a club of people where somebody is keeping track of that, you can get some really good bargains. And that's the service that I offer to people in the greater Philadelphia area, that I am that person and that I'm keeping track of what's going on in the market each week. And that I take people's orders, that I know what the seconds are, and that I post them, and that I keep track of people's orders, and that I distribute to people who order from me. So I started out with a basic service, and now I'm at the point where I'm attracting more club members, and we're going through a large change in our communications, where before I would do all the inventorying by hand, we're moving into a position where we're going to be automating to some extent all the invoicing and the inventorying and counting up of who ordered what. And already that's bearing help for me, because instead of me having to look through a bunch of spreadsheets and write down everyone's order, I was actually able last week to look at a collated list that was made by one of my colleagues and literally know what a person's order was instead of having to spend 2 hours writing down everyone's order. So that saved me a lot of time on a day when I really had no time. So it really was a game saver last Tuesday. So in addition to that, what services am I seeing that a produce club like what I'm running can provide for people. Right now, I'm basically a shopping club. But I think, and I propose that I could be more than a shopping club. I could, the produce club and the produce suppliers, not just limited to the large international wholesalers that are in the produce that are in the produce terminal, the produce regional produce center, not just limited to them, but also hooked into local farmers in the area, in the South Jersey, out to Lancaster, Pennsylvania, all over this area. What, and I don't have hooks into all of those resources yet, but they are coming as the service matures, as I mature as a connected entity. What do I envision actually being able to take place? I envision people being able to say to me, we'd like to have you supply all of the produce that we eat. And when I say all of the produce that they eat, what I'm actually alluding to is if they're a raw person, that means that I'm providing everything that they eat from A to Z. They don't go anyplace else. So what I have is I have a central location. Maybe people go there to eat breakfast and come back to eat dinner. Or there's a place that they get meals to go or meals to take home. Or meals to go to work or something like that. You know, a very flexible location. But what I'm actually able to do is I'm actually able to say, what is everyone eating? And to help them, to advise them, or I mean, I'm not going to advise them. Somebody who's nutritionally qualified would be advising them. But to sort of get, you know, if you're going to improve in a team sport, you go practice with a team. And if you're going to improve in any other discipline, you go where people are more disciplined than you are or know more than you do, and you practice with them. So let's all get together on a nutritional team and practice together, which is sort of what's slowly coming together as more people come together in the produce club. More people who are eating large amounts of raw produce are just naturally getting together. One of the other interesting things is the suppliers that I have from the regional produce center are all big agribusinesses, and I haven't really branched out that much into local farmers. But I do know where I'd like to be with local farmers. I'd like to be in sort of a natural process farm environment, and there are natural process farmers in this area. And I will pick that up on the other side of the break. And I'd like to introduce the song. It's Dar the Bard, Green and Gray. See you on the other side. Thank you.
around the 1st of May. A man in black came walking into a wooden glade, following the sounds of pipes on this beautiful spring day. High from the music that they made. But what beheld him within that place? A look of recognition fell across his face. Oh Lucifer, oh Lucifer, why do you appear to me? For I am a man of God, a priest. I'm no devil, I'm father to man. I have been here since the earth began. Neither black nor white, priest, hear what I say. I'm green and gray.
Hey. tune in to International Pagan Radio. You can hear your favorite artists such as Dave the Bard, Tuatha De Yah, Spiral Rhythm, S.J. Tucker, Murphy's Midnight Rounders, and many, many more. Join us for exciting shows like Ask a Witch and Storytime with Rook as well. www.internationalpaganradio.com on the net or on TuneIn Radio on your mobile devices. Join us on Facebook and Twitter too. International Pagan Radio, all pagan, all the time.
Welcome back to An Emerging Forest on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We hope everyone was able to stretch their legs and get a drink. And now, back to Alan.
Well, I hope you were able to move around a little bit. And so a natural process farm is actually a farm that's actually growing a soil so that you are going to get more nutrition from the plant. And just thinking about what I was going to say next over the break, I can be accused of basically talking about the same thing in many different ways. Because what I'm talking about is I'm talking about a more deeply fertile soil being able to reflect deeper, more complex nutrition ourselves so that we can manifest more of our deep complexity into the world. And by consciously moving toward having these more dense, complex, broader spectrum experiences and the possibilities of having those experiences, we change the resume of the space that we're in. We, instead of the shingle that's out there, the advertisement for this space that we're in as being, the ecosystems are dying, the forests are being destroyed for animal agriculture, many species are dying. You actually turn that around and you'd be able to put out the shingle, species are appearing. New things are coming from deep inside the forest where we never expected them to be. New great expanses of forests are being sown and emerging. Wider varieties of foods and more deeply nutritional foods are being supplied to people every day. And what does that attract? It attracts a different level. It attracts a different set of clientele. I want to avoid saying level because that says some are higher and some are lower. And as we recognize from earlier talks, I don't see anyone as lower or higher. I just see them as doing different things and walking a different portion of the path. And I view all people walking all areas and sections and facets of the path as being necessary and being included. So I want to be inclusive of as many of the, you call them frequencies of the rainbow, as possible. So what would be my next step? Well, my next step in the Produce Club right now is to attract more members and then while I'm still very much in the experimentation phase of the Produce Club, I don't have a storefront, I don't have a commercial location, I don't even have a vehicle to call my own, I would like to look more into some long-term storage that would be at my own location. And it so happens that there are modifications that you can make to an air conditioning unit. It's called a cool box, so that the lowest temperature that an air conditioner will take you to, commercial air conditioner is somewhere in the 60s. You can change its program so it'll still continue to cool down into the 40s. And that's where you need it to be to have a pseudo walk-in facility. I've actually worked on a number of farms that had these cool bots installed. And you need a good deal of insulation, but it's actually relatively cost-effective. And it changes, the one farmer that I knew said, hey, that changed my operation completely, because he was able to harvest a lot more and store a lot more. And it made his life a lot easier. So from my perspective, I'd like to be able to look at the market and say, hey, there's something for my greater club of people that I'd like to actually buy a block of, but nobody in the group has this large storage area. Well, I would have that large storage area. Or myself as part of the group would have that large storage area. And that gets back into what I was talking about in the first half hour of the show, which was a more integrated long-term plan for the group, and the group saying, this is what we believe in, this is what we want to develop, and being really a little bit more serious about it. I mean, right now it's you can walk away at any point, but if you're going to get into an investment, sure, you can walk away. Maybe you are invested in a different vision or a different level of vision of what the Produce Club is actually bringing. And are you actually walking away from that vision? Well, I kind of wouldn't think you will be walking away from the vision. Maybe there's some political stuff going on that you're walking away from. The other thing that's interesting to me is that I certainly have been contacted by folks in the Atlanta area and folks in the Houston area and folks in the Los Angeles area. And I was interviewed by James Bartley at the Cosmic Switchboard out of Australia. I'm interested in whether the Produce Club idea is actually going to pop up in other areas, or whether I am actually going to have to go to other areas and start it, and when that actually takes place. I mean, how many years from now is it going to be before I actually go to a place like New York City and start a Produce Club? I'm not sure. Or how many more years is it going to be before I have enough members in the Philadelphia area to start renting farm acreage and, contracting with farmers who I like the work of, because it's going to give me more nutritional plants to provide to my club members. And that's a direct, that's something that I would be saying, well, this is a Produce Club product. It's not a particular farm supplying a particular trademark to Apple coming out of Washington State. It's actually a local grown to, quote-unquote, the Produce Club's specifications. So overall, I think that's sort of a tale about how the Produce Club started, where it is now, that it's actually undergoing some major renovations right now. And my visions or visions of it in the future. And the interesting thing is that I am not really tied to to anything but the general framework of increasing soil fertility, improving crops, and if someone comes to me with a different proposal, but it still reaches that goal, or reaches a goal that's interesting to me, that as well. So this all, I'd like to, you know, just sort of end that segment of the program, and in the time that remains, I'd like to talk about stories and what stories are, what they do. And stories, in my mind, actually fix your perception. So if someone presents you a version of what they call the world, and they say, this is what the world is, and you take that as being correct, you no longer look at the world and say, what are you? You look at the world and say, oh, I understand you. And the world looks back at you and says, oh, okay, I'm just going to be this one version of the world and never show you the other versions of myself that there are. So I started out pretty much like everyone else starts out, and I accepted the vision and the story of the world as a globe. And really, not too long ago, I was confronted by a few pieces of understanding that maybe that's not the case, and that maybe in some perspectives, a flat earth picture made sense. So I said, well, the globe certainly made sense for a while, but then this flat earth picture made sense for a little while, and then someone else presented some information that said, well, no, the flat earth picture doesn't make sense either. And so I started looking at all these various stories, which certainly had something to contribute that made sense. And I said, well, each one of those pictures makes you have it makes you fixed. It says, I believe this. And it fixes not only the world a certain way, but it fixes you in relation to the world in a certain way. And it actually, the story of, you know, no matter which version you believe, the story in itself, the entirety of what you perceive, inflexible. It makes it a static picture. And maybe that's not what it is. Maybe it's actually fluid. Or maybe it's not one that works, one story that works in one circumstance, another story that works in another circumstance. It's not any of those stories. It's something that's more difficult to realize. It's actually not separate from you. It's a part that you've divided and said, that's the world, and I'll perceive it a certain way. Just like when you look in the mirror and you say, I am such and such a name, and I live at such and such an address, and this is what I do for a job, you define that piece of yourself as a certain being, a certain way, when we have no idea who we are. We have no idea what our backstory is. And maybe it would be more proper to say, cut ourselves off from our greater self by limiting our scope to a body. And one can begin to realize that we're not limited in scope, that our stomach is certainly in every piece of ground on in the space, regardless of whether you call the space dirt, whether you call the space a globe, or whether you call the space flat, or whether you call the space something else. I don't call the space anything anymore. I am not sure what it is, and I give it the freedom to be whatever it is. So this path of trying to be more accepting doesn't mean that I still don't have goals that I want to reach. And the goals that I want to reach now for myself personally are, of course, continued understanding and acceptance. But also, I am certainly still very much committed to soil fertility and a larger number of experiences being available to everyone. And the commitment and valuing of every being, and every way that is for some reason not accepted at the present time. So contacting me, my email address is Ritter, Allen, Allan, 88 at gmail.com. And if you're in the greater Philadelphia area and are interested in the Produce Club service can be found. It's on Facebook, but you can get there by going to produceclub.us. I'm also on Facebook. And I'd like to just end the program by saying, hold no expectations, hold no stories, and have no expectations of the future. And you might release the prisoner. And I think that prisoner is yourself, and that you'll be amazed at who you actually free by pruning your stories about how life works to saying, I don't know how life works, and I don't have any expectations of anything anymore. So please, everyone, try to love yourself as much as you possibly can and realize that no matter where you are or what you're doing, you're where you're supposed to be. And you're in the lands of the Creator, and you're in the minds of the Creator, you're in whatever it is of the Creator's, and you're growing your soul, you're growing your soil as well, and you're feeding yourself with the experience that you're supposed to have next. And I've been very pleased to be able to try to say everyone that your actions are, regardless of what society says about your actions are as they should be. They're needed for your soul. They're needed to grow, for fertility, to make connections. And my hats off to all those people who are walking the harder roads, and my hats are off to the people who are walking the easier roads, because all roads that you need to be walking. And I hope to meet you someday, and just whether we're exchanging produce at a produce club location or something like that, I'm pleased to try to say to you, this is the land of unconditional love. This is the land of experience. And try as I might, I'm unable anymore to not have a quote-unquote spiritual perspective on everything, and at the same time, it's all completely mundane. So I'd like to wish you well in this upcoming week, which is going to be the 1st of March, and I'm so pleased that the small business that I've created, the Produce Club, is actually a year old and thriving and going through big changes. So have a great week and talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.